WGN Radio, 9 minutes after 2 o'clock. Steve Dale on a Sunday afternoon. Lazy Sunday afternoon. You're doing your Christmas shopping from the next room over? That's really what's happening, as we talked about greatly. I'll tell you, I'm so excited about doing this. I'm a little nervous, too, and I've interviewed so many different people over the years, but very few people. But the timing of Jack Benny, the acting chops of Cary Grant, and the interview skills of Johnny Carson all in one. It is, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, and I do mean one and only. No one has ever done it or will do it again like Rich Little. Welcome to the program. Welcome to Chicago.
Hey, Steve. I'm still alive.
Uh-oh. You heard that? Now my face is turning red. I'm embarrassed. You this is terrible. I just saw you. I think it was Huckabee. It was some TV talk show that you were on. So I'm well aware of the fact. And I know that you perform all the time, or did before the pandemic hit. What are you doing now?
Well, I'm back at the Tropicana. I've been there for 5 years. And I just went back there a couple of weeks ago. So I'm doing 4 nights a week at the Tropicana. And I think I'm the only headliner performing on the Strip at the moment.
Yeah, how do you...
Because I have a small room. I don't have a big room, and they're spacing them out, and everybody's wearing masks, and it works pretty good. So I'm happy to be back at work.
Do you feel comfortable doing that, and do you feel that the audience members are safe?
Yeah, I feel that the audience is safe. The only thing that I've had to adjust it to is the fact there's nobody in front of me, because everybody's sitting way in the back, so I don't see anybody, and if they're laughing, I can't hear it. So that's a little bit of a problem, you know.
Oh, my gosh. That's, yeah,
I'm adjusting to it. I'm adjusting to it, well, so it should be okay.
You know, I really did. I mean what I said when I did the intro. I mean, you're more to me, and have always been more than, I don't know if the word is impressionist, because your timing is impeccable. It is almost that you picked up Jack's Benny's timing. I don't know that you'll ever win an Oscar for your acting, but you do have acting chops and interview skills like Carson. Well, you sat in for Carson enough, you know. So
I hosted the Tonight Show 32 times, and I was on there a lot, and that was my heyday back in the 70s. You know, I did a lot of television, and that helped my career an awful lot, you know.
A lot of television. I think I picked you up on my toaster oven. You were everywhere. So
yeah, I was. Yeah.
But that's a good thing. So you were on Carson all time after time after time after time, but then you weren't. It's one of those showbiz legendary stories, I believe. What happened?
I'm never quite sure. I tried to find out, but suddenly I was a no book on the show. And something happened along the way. I tried to find out what it was, but I never did. But either I said something, or somebody didn't like me, or the producer soured on me, or whatever happened, I don't know. But I don't think it was Johnny, because I met Johnny Carson after I was a no-book on the show in Malibu at a restaurant a couple of years before he passed away. And he was very nice to me. And he came up to me in the restaurant and said, Rich, are you still doing me in your act? And I said, yeah, I am, John. Are you kidding? I said, no, why? Well, I'm not on television anymore. I said, that doesn't matter, John. I mean, everybody knows who you are, and they always will, you know. I don't know about forever, but people, of course they remember you. I'll be darned. Are you kidding me? I said, no, I'm still doing you in the act. And here I am 20, 30 years later, still doing them, you know?
Yeah. But
that shows you how insecure he was. Just because he wasn't on TV, he thought I took him out of the act. And I'm still doing Johnny Carson, you know?
Have you ever counted? What is the number of impressions that you've done over the years?
I do probably, I don't know, 60 or 70 anyway. In my act, I do an hour at the Tropicana. I probably do about 50 impressions.
Hmm. And is there anyone? So who gets, I have two questions, both on the opposite ends of the spectrum here, is who gets the most applause? And then who is that you've tried to do just for us We're only speaking, just you and me, Rich. Just for us, someone that you said, I wanted to do that, and you couldn't.
Well, Trump is hard to do because Trump has so many different sounds to his voice. When he's speaking at a rally, it's a different voice than when he's doing a one-on-one. So that's tough. I'm doing Joe Biden now, which is getting a big reaction. And I do the little walk of his and put the mask over my ear and say, Hey man, you chumps out there. You know, I wanted to be president in the worst way. Mission accomplished.
And do you have the aviator glasses on when you do it, those sunglasses?
No. His voice is very loud, you know, when he's trying to make a point. But the walk is what really gets the audience, because he has that little kind of shuffle that he does. And so he's going to be a good subject for me.
You did that with Jack Benny, too. It was all about not only the pauses and the voice, it was about the walk, too. I've got to walk to a commercial, Rich Little, but can you hold on for a moment?
Sure can.
219 on WGN. Steve Dale here. I'm not alone. Rich Little is on the phone, and a couple of you have asked this via text. And, Rich, I guess this is where people's minds kind of go, and mine, too. It's a question I would have asked, so I concede. Essentially asking this question, anyone get insulted, angry, screaming and yelling at you, saying, I dare you, it's not the sincerest form of flattery. Has that ever happened?
Probably. Oh, yeah. Probably Paul Lynn from Hollywood Squares.
Really?
Remember him?
Yeah. Center
he
Square.
He hated my impression. Absolutely hated it when I impersonated him. And I did him a lot back in the 70s. I did him on the Dean Martin roast. I did him on the Tonight Show. And boy, the looks I got from him, you would not believe. Every time I did him on Hollywood Squares, they would cut to a shot of his reaction. And he'd look into the camera and go, who's he doing? Who's that? That's disgusting. But he was funny. He was funny. I remember there was a great Paul Lynn line that he used, and I still remember it, when Peter Marshall said, Paul, name two of Santa's reindeer. And Paul said, oh, that's easy. Rudolph and Olive. And everybody went, Olive?
Yeah.
Olive?
Yeah.
Don't you know the song? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer.
I was just thinking about a martini. That was my... So Olive had me at the very beginning without even that explanation musically. That's... You know, Hollywood Squares was great, and you know, that show should come back, I think, Rich.
They're talking about it, you know. It should come back. You could probably do it, you know, now, because you could have people do it in their home, you know, and just
that's true.
Do it, you know, and without going to a studio, you could probably do it. Yeah.
Yeah,
they should bring that back, show back. They brought it back a lot of times, so, you know, after Peter Marshall did it, I mean, John Davidson did it, and Whoopi Goldberg did it, and... But I don't think it was ever as good as the first version with Peter Marshall and Paul Lynn. I mean, you couldn't top that, you know. And then we had Wally Cox, and we had Charlie Weaver and Joan Rivers and, some wonderful people on that show.
So did you get prompted as to what the questions would be so you could think in advance of those funny, witty one-liners?
Well, they wouldn't give you the answer. But they would give you, maybe a funny answer to say before you give the real answer, and they would give people those lines. They could use them or not. You know, it's up to you. Usually, they ask me a question about somebody I could impersonate.
Sure.
So, you know, if they asked me a question about Jack Benny, I would answer as Jack Benny. You know,
such as
and they'd say. Jack, are you really that cheap? Well, listen, money isn't everything. I mean, love faith charity are at least 2%.
You are so good, man. You mentioned, I can't let this go by. You mentioned the Dean Martin roast, and people, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to YouTube and just type in Dean Martin roast. They're all there. So tell me again. I mean, those things were chopped up for TV. That's clear. Was there a favorite roast that you did? And give me a sort of a behind the scenes also. People, I'll tell you, that's something people still watch a lot on YouTube.
Well, I did 25 of them. I think I did more than anybody. And then Don Rickles did about 20. And they were great shows to do because everybody watched the Dean Martin roasts. And they had people on the dais that I could impersonate. So that's probably why they used me a lot, you know. But I remember Dean, who was in another world. I love Dean, but he didn't take anything seriously at all, you know. And I remember one time, we taped them at the MGM Grand in Vegas. And I remember one time we were walking to the dais to start the show. And as we're walking there, Dean looked over at me and said, "Rich, who are we honoring tonight?" And I said, "What? You don't know who the guest of honor is?" Nobody told me. I said, "It's Michael Landon." "Oh, that's great. I like him. We're going to have some fun, yeah." I mean, it was amazing that he didn't know who the guest of honor was 2 minutes before taping the show, because that was Dean. You know, he never looked at the cue cards. He just sailed through the show. And when things went wrong, that's when he was at his funniest. Dean was great at recovering a mistake or mispronouncing a word, or he was the best at that, you know.
But it wasn't that
amazing,
he was really
man.
It wasn't that he was really drinking, though, correct?
No, not really. I was never sure what was in that cup in front of him. I mean, it might have been booze, who knows? But most of Dean was, I said to Dean one time, "You drink that much?" He said, "No, Rich, I spill most of it, you know." you never knew with Dean whether he was drinking or not. I think most of it was a put on. I really do, you know.
Yeah, that's what they say.
And even with Foster Brooks, Foster Brooks. I mean, he didn't drink, and yet his whole act was on, you know, being a drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was the case for a lot of folks who did that. And, you know, a lot of the humor on those things stands up, but that's something that kind of doesn't, because we think differently today than we did 25 years ago about people who have had too much to drink. It's not so much funny anymore as it is, okay, that person needs help, or it's kind of sad, that kind of thing. However, what you do, among so many other things, I think, is keep these names alive. You know, it's sad to me that today's generation, we did Jack Benny, may not know who this amazing and very funny man was.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. You know, I had a 15-year-old kid in the front watching my show, and I thought to myself, he doesn't know anybody I'm impersonating at 15. And this kid was laughing his head off. And when the show was over, I went up to him and I said, "You seem to enjoy me." And he said, "Oh, Mr. Little, you're funny. Oh, my God, I thought you were great." I said, "Did you know anybody I was doing?" He said, "No." He said, "The only thing that baffled me was I kept wondering why you kept changing your voice."
What? How many years have you been doing what you do?
Oh, gosh. I started when I was about in my late 20s. I went on the Judy Garland show, and that started my career. I've been doing it, my God, 60 years anyway.
So I'm going to play a little game with you. You only can give like one or two words in the answer, and we're tight on time at this point because we have to hit a newscast. I'm going to say a few names, showbiz legendary names. Word or two comes to mind. I'll start off with Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson, a divorce.
Ronald Reagan loved you. You were, I think, in his inauguration, performing twice. What about him?
Well, Ronald Reagan one time said, you know, Rich Little does me so good that I put in my will, when I pass away, they should bury him.
Did he really say that?
Yes, he did.
That is...
He had a wonderful sense of humor.
What was he?
You know, one time Ronald Reagan did some impressions for me. I was invited to the White House. I went there a lot and performed a lot at the White House. And one time, he did Jimmy Stewart for me, and he did John Wayne, and he did Truman Capote. I couldn't believe it. See, the President of the United States doing Truman Capote was hysterical.
What did it sound like?
And I remember what he said to me, too, as
yeah.
Truman Capote. You remember Truman Capote?
I do, yes.
Here's the joke he used. It's hysterical. I don't know where he got it. It, you know, a lot of people think that I wrote in cold blood, but that's not true. Actually, I wrote in ink.
You know, I think, I mean, you love what you do, man, and that is abundantly clear, even though this is the first time we've ever, actually, I did interview you once before, way back when I was in college doing entertainment reporting. I remember that, and you are just as entertaining now. I am grateful, and thank you for all the smiles that you have plastered on millions and millions of faces over the years. What a pleasure to speak with you, Rich Little, where people can see you if you happen to be in Las Vegas. Where can you see Rich Little? Rich? At the Tropicana, correct?
At the Tropicana.
All right.
Yeah, four nights a week from Thursday through to Sunday at the Laugh Factory.
You want to laugh? See Rich Little. Thank you, Rich.
Okay, thanks, Dave.